Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live from faith. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for believers. You know, a lot of people think of the gospel as only something that you need initially for salvation, to be saved, to come to know the Lord and to be walking in His kingdom. But, according to this, it's from faith unto faith, and the righteous shall live from, literally it says in the Greek, from faith. So we need the gospel all through our Christian walk. It is the power, our faith in the gospel is the power for salvation. And in the word salvation, in the Greek, it just means, you know, deliverance from sin and its curse. Soteria means to be delivered from the sin and all the curse that goes with it. There's soteria, which is salvation, and there's soter, which is Savior, you know, the word for Savior, Jesus. Salvation is what is provided to us by the Savior, okay? Another word akin to it is saved, which is sozo. And all three of these words really have a really broad, broad meaning, which means to be delivered from sin and all of the curse of the law. In other words, all of the detrimental things that have come upon us because of going astray of God, all the curse. And the gospel, and our faith in the gospel, gives us power from God, verse 16, in order to bring about that salvation in our lives, in order to complete our deliverance from not only sin, but its curse.
Whew. I'm burning again. Does this face it or what? I'm burning again. The eyes and everything. Look, I'm saved, and Christ has cleansed me from my sin. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you... I don't mind taking the blame, but turn off those hot electronics. I have been saved. Christ has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't live in adultery. Christ has cleansed me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm through with it. I'm through.
Through with sin, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good.
But why is this burning mess coming in?
What's burning?
I don't know, but it's some kind of electronic thing. It's the same thing at home. It burns around your eyes. Your eyes start swelling up in the face.
Does that happen when you read the Bible or listen to Christian radio?
It happened at home. I wasn't even had nothing on.
Well,
it happened since they put that new transformer out there. That's how it's getting in. They put a new transformer. It's coming through the power lines. And it just burns like wildfire. Christ has cleansed me. I don't know why they're doing this. I can't imagine. In fact, it's been so long, I can't even remember. I don't even know what's going on half the time, you know?
Well, you know, the Lord doesn't just cleanse you one time. He keeps on cleansing you. He keeps on
delivering you. I'm not doing anything.
He keeps on delivering you from the old nature.
All right, accuser. That's enough. The Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed me from my sins. I don't need the devil accusing. The devil is trying to tell you that the Christ's blood isn't strong enough to cleanse me from my sins.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing any stronger than the blood of Jesus Christ, and He has cleansed me. Now, don't dispute His blood.
That's what I'm teaching. He has cleansed me.
So this burning
stuff. You know what? He's delivered you from those tormenting spirits that are talking through you right now. He's delivered you from them. He's set you free from them.
Accuse.
You know that electricity that you feel, that's tormenting spirits.
That is Gulf Power Company.
No, that's tormenting spirits troubling your mind.
That is Gulf Power Company.
It's tormenting.
They got a new transformer the last couple, 3 days that it's been terrible. Well, more than that, it's in my head. It started hitting that on my head. My skin started burning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a transformer. It's too hot.
Mm-hmm. But you know, Jesus delivered us from the curse, so that delivers us from all of the works of the devil.
I don't curse, even through man. I bless. I'm not right. Jewish. Mm-hmm. And I don't curse a Jew. I've never cursed a Jew in my life because mm-hmm. I'd be afraid to. But I might curse a Jew's sin.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a Jew's sin needs to be cursed, but not the Jew himself, but his sin. There's a difference.
Okay, so faith in the gospel or the good news or the promises of God will deliver us from sin and its curse. And it's from faith to faith. It's not an instantaneous one-time step over the line type thing, but it's when we need faith for salvation. We're needing salvation day to day. Every day we need salvation from the works of the devil, from the curse of the law. We need soteria.
We need the law, but Christ came to deliver us from the bondage of the law. Because
right.
He knew that nobody was strong enough in their own to keep the law.
Hmm.
Rabbis break the law. Priests break the law. Laymen break the law.
Mm-hmm.
We break the law 7 times a day. We break the law. And he knew that we're not strong enough to keep the law.
That's right.
And so he sent Christ to cleanse us from our sins. And if we trust him and confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins
mm-hmm.
and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right.
Amen. And that includes everything.
That's right. And he'll keep on doing that work
right.
until he's finished the work
that
and delivered us from all evil. Right?
And as far as judgment, with a Christian that's already saved and has been in sin, the judgment will be on the earth. But the unsaved judgment will be after the rapture, when you stand before the great white throne of God. The Bible says that first you die and then the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you're already saved and you've lived in sin, since you've been saved and you haven't been cleansed from it, you don't have a daily confession or a daily cleansing or something like that, you let the sin build up in you, well then, you know, then you'll stand before Christ for that judgment.
Sure.
But if you try to stay caught up, like they say, don't charge anything, you know, pay as you go and then you don't owe. And if you sin in your heart, well then confess it and ask forgiveness and mean it, really mean it in your heart, and Christ forgive you for it. It says pay as you go and then you don't owe.
Sure.
And only God himself knows if you've confessed it or not and if it's gone or not. And these accusers that keep tormenting and tormenting, it's the devil. They dispute the blood of Christ. They say that they don't think he can cleanse you. They don't think that he, you know, that he can cleanse you from your sins. And that's what it is. I've been cleansed, you know. It's
or
really...
You've been cleansed, or are you being cleansed? That's important, too, to be being cleansed. You know?
He took my sins as far as the east are from the west.
That's
and,
right.
mm-hmm. and he said, you don't have to worry about them anymore. They're gone as far as the east. He said, you don't have to ever worry about
them. Here's a good one. He says, 2 Corinthians 7 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
It says, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse
mm-hmm.
ourselves
Damn.
From all defilement of flesh and spirit.
Hmm.
Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, the end result of believing the promises of God is to perfect holiness. And the word holiness is the same word as sanctification. It means separation from sin. God's
oh.
work in us is to complete our separation
from sin. Do you drink coffee
sin.
Or tea?
Yes.
Do you think that's a sin?
Not in moderation, I
think. I don't think it is either, but there's some religions that would slap your face for drinking a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So you see, you've got to be so careful about this judgment business.
Right.
The Mormon church will think you're going to hell if you drink coffee or tea.
Mm.
That's just one. And some branches of the Pentecostals will think you're going to hell if you cut your hair. You have to be so careful with judgment.
You see who this is talking? This
yeah.
is Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians
yeah.
7 and 1. And Apostle Paul said, let us... Meaning he's including himself, a strong Christian man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word of God, and he says, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement, all defilement. In other words, this work is not finished until God has completed separating us from sin.
Are you going to separate from your wife? Are you going to go out and break up a family and separate them?
No, we're talking about separating from
yeah,
sin.
Well, I wasn't called to be a nun or a monk, so I don't have to go by myself and live by myself. My sin is gone. I can get married if I want to.
Sure.
I'm not a nun or a priest.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't set me apart to be a nun or a priest. I can get married. My husband's dead, and I can remarry if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't have to be separated, you see.
Sure can.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I want to make that point that deliverance from sin is not a one-time thing. It's a continuous thing. As we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood cleanses us of unrighteousness and of sin. To say that it's happened to me in the past is not enough if you're not doing it now and going to do it in the future. Sanctification is an ever-ongoing process. We had read before you came in, Pete, Romans 1, 16 and 17, talking about the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. Only to those that believe. The problem is we have a lot of Christians that backslide from their believing and fall away from the promises and begin to go about trying to perfect their own righteousness. And the point is, you know, the gospel is there for us as Christians. We are given power from God when we believe the promises or the gospel, and we're given power to be separated from sin and separated from the curse of sin. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, Colossians Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Right after Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Open the door, Jim.
What always makes it easy for me to remember too, Dave, is our belief is different from their belief. Long time ago, we take our belief just like a grain of salt. Their belief was, you know, like a parachuter that jumps out of an airplane. He believes that when he pulls that cord, you know, it's going to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference. A lot of people say they believe,
right?
But you know,
well, when we get in the midst of a bad situation, hey Tim. When we get in the midst of a bad, troubling situation, an obvious curse, that's when we need salvation. And that's when the gospel is the power of God to us if we believe it. If we believe the gospel, the good news, then in the midst of that problem, we get salvation. Too many people have really limited salvation to when they first come to Jesus receiving a new spirit. It means here and now. We all, in this room, I'm quite sure we need salvation in different areas. We need deliverance from sin and its curse. That's what salvation means. It means, like Pete was pointing out the other day, all your needs supplied, you know. And the needs of sinners and the needs of those under the curse is to be delivered of sin and to be delivered of the curse. And that's what the good news is all about, the gospel. We're going to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians.
Right before 1 Thessalonians.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at my Bible for a long time. I lived in a country where they said you couldn't read it, and so
Where did you live?
Oh, in a foreign country, and they wouldn't let you have one, they wouldn't let you read it. They'd hurt you if you open it and read it. So I've forgotten where this thing is. I used to read it. Oh, I found it. Colossians
chapter 1 and verse 21.
Mm. Mm.
Okay. And you, being in time past, alienated and enemies in your mind, in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before Him, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So we still need the hope of the gospel, and we cannot be separated from the hope of the gospel. If we do, then the rest of this promise won't come to pass, which is being reconciled to God, which is being presented holy and without blemish and unreprovable. You know, everybody wants to be spotless and blemishless bride that Jesus is coming after.
How
everybody
do you
said,
use this? Excuse me, I'm sorry. But don't use a Bible like that on me. It makes me furious. The spotting you and all that. When you give the Word of God, give it without handling. That handling makes me furious. There's nothing that makes me so mad as somebody using God's Word in a bad way to hurt somebody. It just makes me furious.
Do you suppose that maybe there's a spirit in you that doesn't like this Word?
No, it comes under the wires. It comes through the wires. And it's coming through the power of the air.
Let's just bind that old spirit anyway. Okay? We bind your
air.
Spirit
okay.
In the name of Jesus.
Well, we got
we do not permit
wise,
you in the name of Jesus to torment
wires,
this lady in this Bible study. In the name of Jesus, we bind you. In Jesus' name, we do not permit you to torment this lady or torment this Bible study. In Jesus' name. Loose her. Leave her alone.
Just terrible.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God.
And it's that handling thing. They've got to focus in on something to handle it. I don't understand that.
Well, let's focus in on faith.
Focus in on
the
Bible
word.
And the
faith
Word.
And the
get
Word.
Away with that
okay.
Handling. That old handling stuff is so silly.
So he says, now hath he reconciled, if you continue in the faith and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now have you been reconciled. The word reconcile is the word katalasso, and it means to exchange. Now you have been exchanged by the death of Jesus. You have been exchanged your righteousness or your lack of righteousness for His righteousness. I'd like to talk a little bit about this exchange and how it's pointed out in different parts of the Scripture. Because if we realize this, we can cease from our works, we can rest in God, we can have peace, knowing that we have been exchanged with Christ. Many people see their lack in Christ. They see their lack of faith, or they see their lack of patience, or they see their lack of peace. Or many times we see our lack, and we don't realize, hey, that lack's been taken care of. We should be expecting to receive God's power because of our faith in the good news of the gospel. That's what he said. The gospel is the power of God unto soteria, unto salvation, to them that believe, only to them that believe. And so we as Christians, in every instance, in every moment that we get into a situation where we're confronted with lack, or we're confronted with the curse,
or confusion,
our faith should be exercised in the gospel, in the good news, so that the power of God comes to us and saves us. Salvation. The power of God unto salvation. Okay? So he says here, to be reconciled. If you walk in faith in the gospel, you'll be reconciled to the extent that you'll be holy and without blemish. That's what he's saying in these three verses here. Okay? And the word reconciled is exchanged. For instance, let's look at a couple of other verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the gospel, the good news of what happened at the cross. And many times Christians lose sight of the good news of what happened at the cross, and they don't think that it's necessary for them right now. That was just something that they needed back then when they first came to know the Lord.
For them, back then.
Right.
I've heard that so many times.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18. I want you to notice that this is all past tense, by faith. You have to separate faith and manifestation in the Scriptures. And when God says something by faith through the Apostle Paul in this instance, you have to recognize it's faith. It's believing that you've received something that you don't yet see in your body. Okay? And in verse 18 he says, but all things are of God. Isn't that nice to know? Gives you peace, doesn't it? Sovereignty of God. All are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. In other words, he exchanged us to himself through Christ. We were exchanged, literally exchanged with Christ. Okay? And I'll go on to explain that. And gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave unto us the ministry of exchanging what Christ had with what other people have in this world, which is the curse. He gave us the ministry of leading them to Christ and causing Him through their faith to bear away their sins. Okay? He goes on to say, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We're ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, but be ye reconciled to God. Be ye exchanged to God. Him who knew no sin, He made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So here's the catalasso. Here's the exchange. The exchange is we received at the cross the righteousness of God. Christ received our sin. And this we ought to believe in the midst of trials and troubles and tribulations, when sin rises up in us to try to overcome us. That's when your faith in the gospel is going to give you the power of God to be saved, is when you believe that this temptation to be angry right now, you know, was taken away at the cross, and I should see it as that, and I should confess it as that. Yes, confess your sins, but then confess your salvation. That's what the scripture teaches. Confess your sins and confess your salvation. So the exchange here, in this particular instance, is righteousness for sin. He took all of our sins. You know, according to the theologians, it's your past sins. And that's not true. It's all of your sins, past, present, and future. He took away the very nature of sin that would ever cause you to sin again. He took it. He bore it on the cross. Past, present, and future. That's what baptism is all about. It's not just washing away of your past sins. It's for the washing away of your old sinful man. He dies, right? But hey, that's all sin. All the way from the beginning to the end, all of your sins were taken away at baptism by faith, right? Another verse, 1 Peter 2. I'm looking at exchanges here, right? 1 Peter chapter 2. How the exchange took place. You know? What was exchanged? You know? What was reconciled? Exchange, that's what the word means, exchange. Catalasso, exchange. 1 Peter 2. That's ever after James, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self, that's in the epistles way in the back before the book of Revelation. 1 Peter 2 and 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sin, might live unto righteousness. There's an exchange. By whose stripes you were healed. There's another exchange. God gave us His health. Did you ever read in the scriptures where Jesus was sick? No. We were given His health. Why? Because He didn't walk in sin, right? And He knew His authority with God, right? He took authority over sickness just like He took it over sickness in other people, okay? But He exchanged what He had as a perfectly righteous man for what we had as perfectly unrighteous people. He took away our sickness, and He bore it, and He gave us His health. We've been given health, not just healing, but health. Okay? And, you know, many times you can get out of sickness by just knowing the fact that Jesus gave you health. You can tell the devil, hey, no, I don't have to accept that. I'm not under the curse. I've been set free from the curse. Jesus bore my stripes. He took away my sickness, and I've been given His health. If you know that, and your faith is not hindered by willful disobedience, right?
Or disbelief.
Or disbelief. Then you can get out of a lot of sickness, an awful lot of sickness. I've gotten out of a lot of sickness. Some of it I haven't gotten out of. Some of it was a very good trial for me to show me that the Lord heals this, and the Lord heals that, and the Lord heals this, and there ain't nothing the Lord don't heal. You know, He heals it all. But you got to believe in the gospel. Paul called it the full gospel, so that he fully preached the gospel. He did the signs and the wonders, right? Fully preached the gospel, the whole gospel. And it's an exchange. We've been given that right. The only thing that can break that right is if we get out from under the blood into willful disobedience. Otherwise, it's our right to be healed. It's our right to be healthy. In Galatians chapter 3, right before Ephesians, Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us. Redeemed is a word, apoliutrosis, and it means a releasing on the payment of. He redeemed us. He bought us out. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And that covers it all, really. Deuteronomy 28 covers all of the things that come against us because of sin. And any kind of sickness is covered there, any kind of curse in our land, in our house, in our children, in our families, you know, so on and so forth, any kind of curse. We don't even recognize the curse many times because we're so used to living under it. If you were to live out from under the curse for one day and then you lived under the curse, you would recognize the difference, you know. Many times, many things that we don't recognize as the curse, they are the curse, you know. And the only way to find out, you know, since we have nothing to compare, is to be delivered, you know, is to recognize anything that is contrary to us, anything that comes against us because of the old life, because of the old man, because of the corrupt state of our being, you know. Anything like that is a part of the curse. And Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus became a curse. And verse 14, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessings of Abraham. There's the reconciliation, the katalasso, the exchange. The exchange is, he became a curse, we don't have to receive curse. He became a curse so that we could be blessed in everything, be blessed. The blessings of Abraham. Bless her, Lord. Bless her in Jesus' name. The old devil, you can't do that to her. Get out of here. That upon the Gentiles might come the blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus.
Get out of here.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Look at that. You know Jesus died so that we could have the Holy Spirit? Isn't that something? It was a part of the exchange. He took away our old wicked spirit and gave us His Holy Spirit. He took away our curse and nailed it on that cross, and He gave us His blessings. But even all of this won't do you any good, even as a Christian. It won't bring about the full exchange in bringing us into that spotless, blemishless state unless we walk by faith in the gospel, unless we walk by faith in the promises of God in the midst of the trial. So many times we forget about God in the trial. So many times we forget about what Jesus has provided in the midst of the trial. We've accepted this. We've gone through it so long that we just take it as a matter of fact, you know. But many things we're not supposed to accept. It honors God. He said, from faith to faith. That's what He said. And the righteous shall live from faith. Right? And faith is believing the gospel so that we can be delivered from the curse. And it honors God to be delivered from the curse. Okay? Go back to Galatians 2 and 20. The exchange once more. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. and it's no longer I that live. Those are words of faith, you know. And yet, so many times we speak as though I still live. You know what I'm talking about? We confess I as still living, but we're supposed to confess I as dead. I the old man, I the flesh, right? I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live. I'm dead, right? We're dead. We are to confess it. It doesn't matter what rises up in our soul in the midst of a trial. We are to confess it. We are dead. And we're to look at that thing and say, no, you're dead. We're to look at that lust. We're to look at that anger. We're to look at that unbelief. We're to look at that fear. You're dead. You died. Right? It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The crucifixion of the exchange once more, you know? Okay, now he said back in Colossians, if we weren't moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know, I think many Christians, probably all Christians, get moved away from the hope of the gospel in one way. The same way these Galatians folks did. Okay? Go back to Galatians 1 and 6. He says, I marvel that you so quickly, removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. He marveled that they were moved away from the hope of the real gospel so quickly.
So quickly.
You know? You know what? All across this land right now, there are doctrines that are just that. They are moving away from the hope of the gospel, the good news. I want you to notice every one of these verses that we have looked at are in the past tense. Have you ever noticed that? It's been done. It was done at Calvary. We were healed at Calvary. We were delivered from the curse at Calvary. We were given righteousness at Calvary. All of this says in the past tense. Okay? What is it to be moved away from the hope of the gospel? The faith of the gospel, which brings about the exchange. Okay? What is it? Okay? First of all, faith is believing you have received something, isn't it?
Already.
Okay? It's calling those things that be not as though they were, isn't it? Okay? That's what faith is. So, if you're not having faith in the good news, the gospel, then you're being moved away from it. Okay? Here's how you can identify any doctrine, I think, that moves you away from faith in the gospel, which delivers you. Okay? Pointed out here in Galatians, they were moved away from the gospel. In verse 7 he says, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which is preached unto you, let him be anathema or cursed or devoted to God for destruction. You know what that word is. Okay? No, he's talking to the Galatians here about being moved away in the hope of the gospel. Okay, go to Galatians 3, because he really gives a good paragraph here describing what he's talking about by being moved away from the true gospel. Okay, 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified? They saw the gospel being fulfilled. Right? What would you think? You know, if you were in that day and you saw this thing happen, you know, with your own eyes, wouldn't that be something? This only would I learn from you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know, we can go back to the time when we first came to Christ and we can see the mighty miracle God did, and He only did it for one reason, faith. Okay? But a lot of people start being separated from that moment on from the hope of the gospel and from faith in the gospel. They start being separated from that moment and they stop the exchange. And they notice that their life hasn't changed much. Some people even feel like they've backslidden. Their life doesn't change much. I think the reason people's lives don't change much sometimes after they get saved is because they don't know the real gospel. And that's an easy way to get moved away from the hope of the gospel, right? And because they get into their own works, seeking to perfect what they saw they received only by faith at the very beginning, they start getting into their own works in one way or another. What is your works? See, since the gospel is designed for us to always look back, your works is always looking forward. Looking back says, it's been done, and I am to accept it as done, and I am to confess it as done. But the works of man is, we're going to do it. We're going to do it by this method. We're going to do it by that method. It's always looking forward instead of looking back. People are looking in the wrong direction. People are asking, how can I get delivered from this, and how can I get delivered from that? They're looking in the wrong direction. Again, they should be looking back. That's when I was delivered from this, and that's when I was delivered from that. It's always looking back, you see.
It's already been done. Just read about it.
It's been done. He said, this only what I learned from you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected in the flesh? Did you suffer so many things for nothing? If it indeed be for nothing. He therefore that supplieth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Obviously by the hearing of faith. Okay? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. They that are of faith are the same, are the sons of Abraham, by the hearing of faith. By the hearing of faith? Faith is what? Faith is, according to Jesus, it's believing you have received. It's the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not yet seen. It's believing you've already got something 2,000 years ago. Okay? Okay, by the hearing of faith. We received the Holy Spirit because we found out we didn't have to keep on begging Jesus for the Holy Spirit. We found out, hey, He gave us the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago. It was poured out on the day of Pentecost. He never took it back. He never took it back. This thing about works. You know, I've been really alarmed because we heard from some people in Louisiana, some good friends of ours in Louisiana. We heard from a good brother up in North Carolina, a pastor up in North Carolina that I used to teach a lot in Louisiana. And we've heard from some people over here, you know. Paul was telling us about one instance over here of some people preaching this inner healing thing, you know, of, hey, look inside yourself. See what you can see is wrong. Let's do a little, what do they call it? Psychoanalyzation, you know. Like my older sister's into. My second oldest sister is a psychoanalyst. And she's absolutely full of demons. You know? I don't attribute all that to her education about psychoanalyzing people. She got into the rule of it through Eckhart Tolle and things like that, you know. But she's full of demons. You can't pray for her without her knowing it. And she gets mad when you do it too. I don't care if you over yonder. She lives over in She's in Spain, right? Ibiza, I think, in Spain. But anyway, well, she don't appreciate it. She knows it's contrary to the spirit that's in her. And I'll tell you what, psychoanalyzation, or looking inside yourself to see how you can fix yourself, is just as contrary to the spirit of God as another gospel. Because that's exactly what it is. It's another gospel. It's looking forward instead of looking back. It's saying, how can we fix? Instead of, hey, I'm already fixed. Praise God, I'm set free. You know, the Lord delivered me.
That makes Calvary null and void.
Well, it's like we were saying a while back. If you believe the Scripture, by His stripes you were healed, then what are you doing trying to heal yourself? What are you doing trying to make yourself? You know, what are all these efforts? All these efforts are another gospel.
You don't need Christian counseling, do you? If it's the same thing.
Christian counseling is not psychoanalyzation.
Well,
the Bible says,
you can't read the Bible without getting Christian counseling.
No. Okay, what about.
Meyer Clinic and all.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Or even where I know a friend who goes to this because they have counseling because they had an alcoholic problem or a marital problem. Now, if that's all dead. Well, you just go for Bible.
To some extent, you're right, because you don't counsel somebody that's got alcohol. If they've repented, you cast the demon
right.
out,
so
and that's the end of it. It's so
right.
simple.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not works. It's
but
not your work.
They're saying there's still, you know, there's still lingering
rehabilitation is what they're trying to get.
They're
to.
Still trying, you know. Obviously, you're still going to have a problem 6 months down the road. So they're not really,
see, that's not faith. That is not teaching
right.
someone the gospel.
This
is the best Christian counseling
that
you can get.
Counseling.
Right. I understand.
That
well, that means different things to different people. Christian
yeah.
counseling.
Yeah.
Christian
yeah.
counseling is this. This is
yeah.
Christian counseling, you see.
What you're doing right now is really Christian counseling.
Yeah, that's Christian counseling. Because Christian counseling is going to point you to what Christ has already
right.
done, not what you need to do for
yeah.
yourself,
yeah.
and not what other people's wisdom can do for you.
Yeah.
God did not choose the wisdom of the world or the mighty. Why did he make it something that was already done? So that it would exclude your wisdom, your might, your ingenuity. Everything that comes from you is excluded because he's already done it. So it just cuts you out of the picture entirely. It's a free gift of righteousness, Romans 5 says. A free gift. If you've got to be ingenious, if you've got to be wise or mighty or very understanding, then it's not a free gift. And it's not equally free to all men. Suppose I'm more ignorant than the next fellow, you know. Suppose I'm weaker than the next fellow. Hey, it don't make any difference. In fact, if you're weaker and more ignorant, sometimes you're more liable to get the gospel.
That's right.
Yeah?
It's easier. Less to chisel through, you know.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Right.
Okay. So sometimes, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, for those of you who never thought about this, he says, behold your calling, brother, not many wise after the flesh. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble or called, but God chose the foolish of the world that he might put to shame them that are wise. Didn't Jesus do that when he chose them disciples?
He chose me, shouldn't he?
Yeah, any of us, really. Yeah. Well, really, you know, I was probably the most ignorant in my family, really. My sisters were all brilliant, you know, doctors. And,
rocket scientists.
Yeah, and here I am, you know, dragging up the rear, you know. But anyway, they didn't accept the gospel, but I did. Thank God. For my worldly foolishness, yeah. I mean, I was just foolish enough to know I needed him. They're so wise, they don't need
him. That's right.
You see, that's the problem.
It's like if you've ever tried to help somebody that's been real involved in the church and they've got all those religion down pat, it's so hard to bring them out of that. You know, only by faith can you bring them out of that. But if you get a babe, you can teach them. You know, somebody that doesn't know nothing.
Like a Bourbon Street pastor. He went on the highways and hedges and got them.
Yeah.
The bars.
Bob Harrington.
Publicans and sinners,
yeah.
and they called him a wine bibber because he preached the gospel to the publicans and sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Went out in the highways and hedges and called them in.
That's right.
And yeah, I was thinking about Bob Harrington, a Bourbon Street preacher. He went right in the bars and gave them tracts and told them about Jesus. Saved a lot of them, too.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Well, you know.
He wasn't too good to go try to get them, you know. That was.
What does it mean to be weak? You know, if he chose the weak thing, it's weak to do it yourself. It's weak to be your own savior. It's weak to be your own wisdom, so to speak. You know, Paul in 2 Corinthians said he chose being weak. 2 Corinthians 12. It was wise for him to be weak. Verse 9, the Lord said unto him, he hath said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's power comes to those that are weak. He said, well, Dave, didn't the scripture say in Philippians 4:13, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Yeah.
But here he's telling us to be weak, but yet the scripture says we're strong. We're weak, but we're strong. We're weak to do it ourselves, but our strength comes from God. Who does God give strength to? Who does the scripture say God gives strength to? Huh? Look in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Look in Isaiah 40. This is who God gives strength to.
Surely not the ones who think they can do it on their own.
The reason some people don't get strength is because he only gives strength to some people. Verse 29. Isaiah 40 and 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to him that hath no might he increases strength. So that's the key. Paul gloried in his weakness, in his inability to save himself in the situation, right? He gloried in that. And God said, my power is made perfect only in weakness. Only if you're weak will God's power be strong in you. Only if you will deny yourself and your ability will God's power be strong in you. So he gives might to the weak, right? Even youths shall faint and be weary, verse 30. Youths are people who are strong, right? Normally speaking, they're strong in themselves. You know, they are vigorous. They can run all day, run you into the ground, right? They'll faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. God gives strength to those who are weak, those that will wait. What does it mean to weak and be wait and wait to wait and be weak? Okay, you don't want to get that straight, Dave. To wait and be weak. Well, if you wait, when you get yourself in a circumstance, if you wait on God, you're being weak because you're not taking care of it yourself. We've been trained to take care of it ourselves. Yeah. And we are quick to jump out there.
People even quote verses too, out of the blue, the Lord helps them and helps themselves.
Wow, right.
Yeah. Really, where did that come from?
Yeah. Well, I think the true quote is the God, the plural, help them that help themselves. And it's like a Confucius or Nietzsche saying or something like that. It's one
of those. It's an Antichrist saying.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's right. Look, the Lord don't help the ones that think they can do it on their own. He helps one that just says, help me, please.
That's right. No.